In a dark hole underground, a man wielding a heavy pick pierces the wall of rock in front of him. The pick throws up sparks in the rock. Sometime later, the man sharpens the blade of the pickaxe with a file. Then he resumes his labor. He wears a round-domed felt hat and a long-sleeved collarless vest and long johns held up by braces as he cleaves at the rock. He peers closer at the fissure he's created, and light falls across his face to reveal a man in his 30s with a heavy black beard. He straightens and looks up towards the opening of the shaft. With his rifle slung across his shoulders, he jams on his hat and starts to clamber up the wooden footholds that lead from the bottom of the shaft to the bright light up at the top. With his legs drawn up in front of him, he sits huddled up against the wind, drinking from a mug in the bleak light of early morning, next to a small campfire and his pitch tent. The year is 1898. In the shaft, working by the light of a lit taper, he chisels away. He spits on a piece of dislodged rock and wipes it clean with his thumb. Carefully, he slides a stick of dynamite into a crevice in the rock and wedges it with pieces of loose stone. He drops his digging tools into a bucket. Then jams a wooden board on top of a bucket attached to a rope hanging from a winch above and lights a fuse. He starts to clamber up the side of the shaft. Emerging at the top in bright sunlight, he climbs off the ladder onto one of two horizontal beams hammered across the top of the hole. He steps away from the mine and starts to pull on the rope that's slung over the higher of the two beams with the bucket attached to it at the bottom of the mine. The bucket carrying the tools starts to move upwards. The man's rifle slides from his back to his front, making him let go of the rope. Slipping the weapon off his shoulder, he tugs at the rope with both hands and the bucket resumes its journey upwards. The mouth of the mine is engulfed in thick yellow smoke. The miner, thrown back a little by the explosion, waits for the smoke to clear and steps back towards the shaft. He peers down into the hole and climbs down the makeshift ladder. One of the rungs snaps off and the miner plunges to the bottom of the shaft. Gasping with pain, he raises his head off the ground.
No!
Sometime later, hanging onto the rope with one hand, his broken left leg stretched out in front of him, he hauls himself up into a sitting position. He leans forward and stretches out his hand. Picking up a piece of loose rock, he spits on it and polishes it. He tucks it into his vest and, gripping the rungs of the ladder with one arm and holding the rope with the other, he starts to haul himself up. On the stony, arid surface, he pulls himself along on his back, his left hand gripping each rock that he passes and propelling him forward a few inches at a time, towards the three bare hills on the horizon. At a silver and gold weighing station, rocks are ground into a powder and weighed. On the wooden floor next to the weighing table, the miner lies on his back, with his hands behind his head and his broken leg stretched out in front of him. An official document issued at Eagle, New Mexico, and headed Silver and Gold Scorification Assay, lists all the traces of precious metal found in the rock. The miner signs his name at the bottom, Daniel Plainview.